You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Don't worry, Carter. Fixing a hat. Oh, these headphones are loud. Ooh, Mark Willard deaf? Is he deaf? What the hell is going on around here? Oh, baby. Tuesday morning.
What is that hat you're wearing?
It's a Honey Deuces hat from the U.S. Open. It's
your
special drink. It's their special drink. I've been rocking a lot of U.S. Open hats. Carter knows about the U.S. See, Carter got family money. He's been all over the world.
Family money? What, is this the Great Gatsby?
Yeah, I can't flex on him. The dude was at the Amalfi Coast for 3 weeks. Strictly on the Amalfi Coast.
Not
for 3 weeks.
Not on a honeymoon like Stephen Langford.
No, just chilling on the Amalfi Coast.
Well, it must be nice.
Must be really nice.
I mean, I was just in Hawaii for a couple days, but that was 3 days.
That's 3 days
nothing.
Compared to 21 days at the Amalfi Coast, Pozzuolo.
He was in the homeland, man.
He even stayed on the island of Capri for, what, 3 days? And then went back to the Amalfi Coast. And then, I mean, good Lord, what a life he lives. What a life for the 49ers as well.
Yeah,
as
maybe
we say,
they
want to
make a trip to the Amalfi Coast right now in the bye week.
I mean, maybe, maybe. As we say, oh, baby, good morning to everybody out there getting off the graveyard shift, all of the overnight dancers. Yeah, business was down on Sunday. Nobody was coming out the house. Teachers, cops, firefighters, you name it. It's bad right now. Cheetahs down to San Jose. Tough day. Tough day for business because we got some injuries here with the 49ers.
Yeah.
And, we're going to get ready for the NBA. The NBA's tip-offs today. The Warriors are in Portland tomorrow. Can't wait for that. Moses Moody with his 3-year, $39 million extension. Jonathan Kuminga with no extension. We'll get to that. We'll get to that a little bit later.
But Steph Curry talking halftime yesterday with Scott Van Pelt.
Yeah, he was talking.
Ravens, Buccaneers game.
Yeah, he was on there. Yeah, it said go Panthers.
Yep.
You know, the Panthers are struggling. But
I did like Van Pelt's response. He's like, sure.
Sure.
If that helps.
Well, give me what helps this situation. The 49ers wide receivers had a very difficult time in becoming open. And, I mean, Kansas City was playing on all the inside routes. You watch it back, and they were just like, they knew what route were coming. They knew what route was coming. Because the Niners don't throw it outside the numbers. So we'll touch on it in just a second. But one of their better route runners, probably their wide receiver number one, and we know how the season shook out, the offseason shook out, the hold in, and what happened with the contract, and eventually got it done with a 4-year, $120 million contract with about 76 guaranteed. But Brandon Ayuk, who got injured late in the second quarter, running an in route, a drag route, and the ball was thrown a little behind him. He got plastered on a play. The cart, well, he limped to the sideline, got on the cart, pointed at his right knee, and it looks like he's going to be out for the season. Well, he will be out for the season. He tore his ACL.
And MCL. Yeah.
His
knee is mangled, Monte.
Tore his ACL and MCL. So he is out for the rest of the season after just 7 games, and who the hell knows when he's going to come back. There's probably a guarantee he's going to miss training camp next season. Not to mention Deebo Samuel, who was ill. He played 4 snaps on Sunday against Kansas City. And we all wonder, man, why is he on the sidelines? If he's sick, if he's contagious. Well, he had a form of pneumonia. And he has fluid buildup in his lungs and remains in a local hospital after checking in Sunday night. So he's got pneumonia. George Kittle's day-to-day with a foot injury. So, the Niners, this season has gone from bad to worse, just like that. Your receiver room has been depleted. We don't know if Debo's playing against Cowboys Spadoni. We know Ayuk's out for the rest of the season. Juwan Jennings, hopefully, is back with the hip. Pearsall just played his first game. And when it comes to Pearsall and separation, there was only 5 wide receivers worse on Sunday who created less separation than Ricky Pearsall. So, he's got work to do. But we could start with Brendan Aiyuk and what was just a disastrous season for him. A disaster. Well, the only thing that wasn't disastrous, Pedotti, was he got his money.
He did.
And this is why you try to get your money. Because if you played on the $14 million, well, guess what? He's not getting $120. Not with this injury.
No. No, but you know what? He's getting security for himself and for his family. You know what? I was on board with you when you were talking about that all summer. Yeah. I get it. We're all fans here. We want what's best for the team.
Yep.
But you got to think about the players sometimes, too, and the individual. What if you were in that situation? Yep. What would you want for yourself and your security and your financial future when you have kids, when you have a wife, when you have a spouse, right?
Yep.
So good for him for that. And I saw, I think it was Mike Garafolo, NFL Network. He basically tweeted the same thing. He's like, I know this isn't going to help him and make him feel better, but this is why you hold out hold in, and this is why you get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Because situations like this, we see it time in and time out the other way, Bonte.
Yep.
What? Just think if he played on his fifth year.
Yep.
And this happens, he's screwed. Like he may never be the same player again. These types of injuries, not when it's just the ACL, because the ACL we've seen it time in and time out. Now, I think Adrian Peterson shifted all of our narratives about getting an ACL injury when he had that MVP year after. Right. Yep. It's just the sports science, everything, the sports nutrition, the rehab. What we know now, you can come back from an ACL when it's multiple things, multiple ligaments that are damaged in the knee, that's when it starts to get concerning. And when you start seeing guys like Rapoport, guys like Schefter saying he has a long road back, that's scary to me.
That's very scary.
And so good on him for having financial security, but it also sucks for the player, and it sucks for the team right now because they need Brandon Aiyuk. I know a lot of fans are booing him. They're not happy with him. But boy, Juwan Jennings out with the hip. I don't know if that's getting better anytime soon. Shanahan talked to the media yesterday. He said, I don't know if Debo and Juwan are going to be back this week. And that's a desperate Cowboys team coming in, coming off a bye.
Yep.
They're angry.
They're very mad. Angry. They are
Jerry Jones
angry.
Is talking to the media today on his radio show. Maybe we'll get into some of that a little bit later. So just brutal, brutal injury for a season that's already brutal to start.
So, Jerry Jones will talk to RJ Sean at 105.3 The Fan to Dallas. RJ Sean at 105.3 The Fan to Dallas declined to simulcast with us on Friday.
Oh.
They are done with that life. They want nothing to do with us, and that's fine. That's fine. But to your point about Brendan Aiyuk, I think we both were in lockstep here. He got $76 million of the total extension. That was guaranteed. $76 million of the total extension was guaranteed. $45 million of which was guaranteed at signing. His base salary is down. You look at his base salary next year with $11.2 million, $16.2 million. Then it jumps to $42.2 million and $44 million in 2028. We'll see what happens back when we get there. But he had an immediate $23 million signing bonus. And so if he, like you said, if he tears his ACL and his MCL and he doesn't have this contract, well, they'll probably pick up the fifth year option, and that's that. And he may never see 120. Who knows? Who the hell knows? But you see receivers last night. Chris Godwin got hurt late in the game. Why was he in the game? The game was over. He's probably
after
out
Mike
for the
Evans
year.
Got
after
hurt.
After Mike Evans popped a hammy. So Tampa Bay's got some injury issues. The whole league's injured. But when it comes to Brendan Aiyuk, now we're going to see how good Juwan Jennings and Debo is, Spinotti, because Brendan Aiyuk I don't want to say. You know, he had the one game against Arizona, but he wasn't that productive this season. We knew it was going to be a long, long road for him after missing most of training camp. And he was MIA against the Rams. He was MIA. I guess Shanahan said he had his best game against Minnesota, and Purdy just missed him a few times. But now we're going to see whether or not Juwan Jennings and Debo Samuel, like Ricky Pierce, all are up to the task. Or maybe it's Jacob Cowie getting some more run. Because Brendan Aiyuk did get bracketed at times. He did get the attention of opposing defenses. And now without him, you're one guy who can separate, who's having a tough time separating, like the rest of these guys. The passing game is going to take a hit. How does that? That puts more on Brock Purdy's shoulders.
A lot
to
more.
Make perfect throws. Perfect throws.
It forces you not to be one-dimensional, everyone. I mean, and we keep hearing that phrase, one-dimensional, from a lot of different guests we've had this year, a lot of fans, a lot of people that are just frustrated with the 49ers offense. Like, hey, Shanahan, I know the game plan is to run the football, But that's just not going to cut it anymore. No. Teams are going to be expecting that. When they're going to capitalize on your weakness right now, and your weakness is the passing game, because we don't respect Ricky Pearsall. We don't respect Jacob Cowing. Yeah, we respect George Kittle, but guess what? We'll double him.
Yep.
We'll force you to go elsewhere. We'll force you to go to people you're not comfortable with, Brock Purdy. And what does that do? Well, that forces you to hold on to the football a little bit longer and make indecisive decisions, like he did three times with three interceptions on Sunday. So there's a lot going on here with the San Francisco 49ers offense. It's going to be up to Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy to iron this thing out. Is there a player you can go out and get? Is there a Mike Williams that you want to go get? A disgruntled Mike Williams? Obviously, Devontae Adams is there now. I don't know. Is that going to solve everything? He's a big body. He's a big target. It's another guy that gets hurt a lot, though, too.
Yep.
Is there someone else out there? Is there? I know Jerry Rice joined us yesterday, the GOAT, and he was like, hey, DeAndre Hopkins. I know that the Titans aren't very good. Is that a player you can go after and get? He's a possession receiver.
Yep.
Not the biggest guy, but you know what? He can make plays. Also, he doesn't really separate a lot, too. That's another thing with DeAndre Hopkins. Whoa. So that's there's give and take here. But you drafted Ricky Pearsall for a reason, Bonte, right? And you drafted him in the first round.
Well, it's going to take some time.
It's going to take some time, but he needs to learn pretty fast here.
Well,
trial by fire is what's going to have to happen here. And that's, listen, maybe it's a blessing you're playing the Cowboys and they're not very good defensively. So we'll see there. But again, they're going to be hungry coming up here, and we'll have all week to break that game down. But he needs to start stepping up and pretty quick. And that's unfair, because I get it, because he didn't have all training camp. The guy got shot in the chest down at Union Square right down the street from us. But we need him. If I'm a 49er fan, we need this guy to contribute.
Well, it's tough ass, right?
Very tough ass.
These wide receivers lack. You know what it was, too, Sunday, watching them against the Chiefs and that defense? The athleticism, or the lack of athleticism these 49ers wide receivers had, and the explosion and the firepower. They don't look dynamic whatsoever. And that was with Brandon Ayuk. And now you get Ricky Pearsall, who, again, I find these stats to be fascinating. I don't get into everything, the EPAs and DVOAs and all that stuff, but I do look at average yards of separation. That's an important one for me. How is the receiver separating? Well, Ricky Pearsall in his debut averaged 1.9 yards of separation. That was the sixth worst of any wide receiver this week. There was only five worse than Ricky Pearsall when it came to separation, average yards of separation. So right then and there, say, hey, can we count on Ricky Pearsall to do his thing? Well, there was only five receivers worse when it came to average yards per separation on his routes. He was not getting any separation. He was getting jammed up. And now the question is, can Kyle Shanahan adapt? And this is where Kyle Shanahan may need to adapt his scheme and his passing game. Because y'all know what everybody said about his passing game. Jay Gruden, a few weeks ago. What podcast was this on? Jay Gruden was... I forgot where he said this. I forgot who he said this with.
We'll Google it.
But here's what he said about Shanahan's passing game.
I'm just not a big fan of his true pass concepts when he's down, and he knows. I'm just not a big fan of them. I don't know. I just don't understand a lot of them, and that's just something you have to continue to work on through OTAs, training camp, and all that stuff. You got to prepare to be down. You know, it's a lot easier to call plays when you're ahead by 14 points on first and second down than when you're down. Not many coaches have had a lot of success calling plays down, having to come back. It's very difficult when you're a one-dimensional team. It's very difficult in the NFL to have success. I'm not saying that I did have a lot of success. I'm just saying, from a pass game standpoint, when I study teams, that would be one of the last teams I would look at as far as pass concepts go on known passing situations. I'd go elsewhere and look for other pass concepts.
Now, I was on a 3 and Out podcast with John Middlecoff. Now, he later on said this about his run game and pass game.
I think it's all predicated on the outside zone is what really they made famous, and then the play actions off of it. Really, I think their passing game is pretty much nothing really special. Their protection schemes are a little, when they get down or they have a lot of third downs, they're not quite as effective as something teams like an Andy Reid type guy. But first and second down, these guys will kill you. If they're having success on first and second down, they have a litany of play action passes and boots and leaking the tight ends out around the backfield and the runs they get going. They're very schooled in how they want their run blocking to be. They have different variances off the outside zones with the sifting and very many creative ways to get to the same spot, which is what I liked about how they ran it. I actually think Kyle's best season as a play caller, we had Robert Griffin as a rookie. I mean, he put in some plays nobody's ever saw, the zone reads with the sifting tight end, and then they're bluffing that guy, and then he's keeping it with the lead blocker, and then they're pulling it out, throwing a glance route right behind to Pierre Garçon, and then finally the league caught up with it. They were starting to fall back a little bit on some of these sift blocking, but that first came in, he was giving defenses nightmares. And so, yeah, he's definitely a great play caller, first, second down, probably one of the best.
So that was Jay Gruden not mincing any words with Kyle Shanahan in his passing game, saying that it's not built to come back. And they've been down in games. The passing game's got to adapt. Shanahan maybe has to adapt. Maybe this is where you got to throw outside the numbers, which we'll get to next time, because Jerry Rice joined us yesterday, and he said, man, they don't throw outside the numbers. Hell, you know who else said that?
Who?
Patrick Peterson.
Oh.
Man, they're going to have to commit to the run game, which we know the San Francisco 49ers are going to do. Because once you get one-dimensional, it kind of makes their job a little bit easier. So I believe Kyle Shanahan is going to do a great job of trying to keep those guys off balance, but with the motions and the post-snap movements and things like that. Brock Purdy is definitely going to have a heck of a game to make sure that the offense is moving efficiency as they need to be up and down the football field. But like you said, the game breaker is going to be when they get in the red zone, getting the ball in the end zone.
So we'll get more sound, too, on Patrick Peterson, because he mentioned it. He mentioned it during that interview when we first had him on about a month ago. We basically said, look, we know the Shanahan concepts. We have to guard the drags and the slants. They do not throw outside the numbers.
You keep hearing the term one-dimensional, though. That's the common theme I keep getting, Monte. And that is not what you want to be as an offense.
No.
Is one dimension. That's great if you can dominate that one dimension. Like, that's great. You're a run-first football team. That's awesome. But the best teams and the teams that end up being champions can adapt. And we have failed to see Kyle Shanahan adapt in the biggest moments of the biggest games. And that's a problem. It's a major problem. And it's something that he has to rectify quick and right now. Because you know what? This season is slipping away. You lose this week heading into a bye, you're 3-5.
Yep.
And you look at that schedule, there's not an easy game left on that schedule. I know the Bucs just lost their top two.
No, it's not an easy game.
But no, there's no easy games left on this schedule. There's no gimmies for the 49ers. You're not playing the Carolina Panthers this season. You're not playing the Las Vegas Raiders this year. No. You're playing teams like the Buffalo Bills, the Detroit Lions. All right? And if you want to measure yourself up against the best, and I think that ultimately could be the saving grace for the 49ers this year, because they do have a difficult schedule going forward. So it's going to separate the men from the boys very quickly. You're going to need to adapt. And what is that going to look like for Kyle Shanahan? It's something that's going to, and I know we're up against it here. It's something that he's going to have to look into the mirror and take a good, long, hard look at his whole philosophy, I feel like. Yeah.
We're going to replay Jerry Rice's 650. Jerry Rice joined us yesterday at the River Islands Guest Line, and he kind of discussed the route tree, the passing game concepts within that interview. And you know what? They've got to use every blade of grass moving forward. That's the adjustment in the passing game. You can't just run slants and drags and crossers and run all the misdirection stuff. You got to adapt to your personnel. So how does Shanahan adapt moving forward without Brandon Ayuk? You may not have Debo on Sunday. He's in the hospital with a pneumonia, fluid up in his lungs. It's all bad right now for the 49ers as they lose to the Kansas City Chiefs. They're 3-4 in third place in the NFC West after Arizona beat the Chargers last night in Glendale, Arizona. They're feeling good about themselves. Seattle's 4-3. We're going to talk about that. We got Brian Baldinger joining us at 7:30. Dalton Johnson to talk some Doves at 9 o'clock. Don't forget, all guests are 95.70 game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? And that's all coming up. Brought to you by Safeway.
Close. I will say this. The one thing about the 49ers, once you get in the door, you damn well better take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Teddy knows this. We all know this. You play deep in the playoffs every year, every year, every year. You know what catches up to you? Health. That's one component to going a long distance is you have to be healthy. They are not healthy because they play deep almost every single year and they haven't capitalized.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky.
That was Damian Woody on Get Up saying that the Niners Super Bowl window is closed. Super Bowl window is closed. Now, how do we determine whether or not it's open or closed? To me, Brock Purdy's still there. Fred Warner's still there. Nick Bosa's still on the team. Trent Williams is on the team.
Kyle Shanahan's still there.
Kyle Shanahan's still coaching, which, you know, a lot of people may say, that's the problem. That's why your Super Bowl window's closed, because Kyle Shanahan's coaching.
He's gotten you to two, but okay.
Yeah, no, he's gotten you four AFC championship games the last 5 years, but, you know, it's his fault. So I don't know where to go with that. Is the Super Bowl window closed? I have no idea. I have no idea.
It's a week-to-week league. You smash the Cowboys, it's back open.
You're 4-4 again. So you still have a chance to win his division. So that's where I'm at with that. But we're talking about passing game and adapting and maybe tweaking your scheme a little bit. I thought maybe, especially on Sunday against Spags, where I mentioned yesterday that Shanahan, he gave too much respect to Spagnuolo. And, you know, you knew where his blitz packages were coming. You knew what his schemes were. The Chiefs knew what the Niners wanted to do there. You go look at their corners and the way they played the routes. Hmm. You watch it back. And I'm just thinking, like, damn. They knew what was coming. Every single play. They don't even have to guard outside the numbers. Can the quarterback throw outside the numbers? Well, you know what? Watching it back, Purdy was worse than I thought. Purdy's two deep shots to Kittle and Cowie underthrown. Purdy just did not see it on Sunday. He was just not pretty.
All three of those picks, and the last one was the most egregious, and Kyle Shanahan spoke to the media yesterday at his media conference call, and he alluded to it, Bonte. He's just like, yeah, Brock's just got to take the sack there. Like, you need the 3 points there. Right. You need to make it a six-point game at the very least. You just cannot force that ball into that window as he's getting hit. It just wasn't a good decision. He just looked flustered from the start to the finish. And I don't know if it's just, you know, PTSD from the Super Bowl. I don't know what it was, but it was, you know, I actually go back to that Vikings game when after the game he goes up to Brian Flores as a defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. And he was like, your scheme is crazy, bro. And he's like laughing about it. I was like, were you laughing about it this time against Steve Spagnuolo?
Yeah, and I didn't like that.
Were you going after the game saying, bro, that scheme was crazy, bro?
I didn't like that.
I want you to be angry. Like, this is where I was getting out with Jerry Rice.
Did you see Flores real quick? Where Flores, like, when he heard that from Purdy, he just kept it moving.
He didn't even react to it.
What are you talking about? Like,
I'm not trying to be your friend.
Yeah, no, the scheme is crazy, bro. Like, what?
Please. Too buddy-buddy. And I kind of felt that energy. Again, we're going back to that energy, Bonte. They didn't take the Chiefs. I don't know if it's serious, if that's the right word.
No, they took the Chiefs seriously, but the Chiefs live inside their head.
But they didn't take them like they weren't angry with them. They weren't like frustrated. Like, I don't, the right emotion wasn't there.
No.
I don't know what emotion but the right one was not there. I felt more emotion from Jerry freaking Rice, who's been retired for 20 years yesterday, wanting to fight someone.
Yeah,
I felt the emotion from him.
We'll replay that at 6:50 because Jerry says some things. Jerry was spicy yesterday.
He was embarrassed.
Yesterday. Jerry was spicy. We'll play the interview at 6:50.
Do you think the players are embarrassed?
They should be. They should be. After what they put on film this Sunday? After what they put on film this Sunday?
They better be.
They should be embarrassed. They should be. You come out 3 and out, you get a holding call, you're 3rd and 19 right off the rip. Right off the rip, 3rd and 19. Okay, you force the Chiefs to a fourth down. They go for their fake punt. Alert, 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 fake punt. Keep destroying defense on the field. And you know what? Good job, Niners. Tig Brown stuffs the punt fake. Good. You get the ball at the 45-yard line of Kansas City's. You got great field position. And right away, play action pass. Reed knows what's coming. Kansas City knows what's coming. Nobody's open. Got to throw that ball away. And you forced an interception. So the first quarter was just a disaster. It was predictable. So when we play the Jay Gruden sound about the passing game concepts, you'll hear within the interview Jerry Rice about the passing game concepts. Patrick Peterson said it about the passing game concepts. Everything's in the middle of the field. But how about Steve Young? Steve Young.
The Hall of Famer.
The Hall of Famer.
Who is he on with?
Jim Rome, your boy.
Oh, clones.
He was on with the clones. You love him. Steve Young.
He was in the jungle.
Steve Young.
Jungle legend. Steve Young. Hall of Famer.
On the difference between this season's team and last year's team.
I mean, the problem is last year was one of a kind, right? Jim, give me one little stat. Last year, the yards per attempt passing is a big stat, right? And so usually 8 or 9 yards leads the league. He was 9+ from throws behind the line of scrimmage. They led the league in yards per pass from throws behind the line of scrimmage against the rest of the league throwing it downfield. They were in the red zone. They were number one. Everything happened, and it just felt like it was easy. Everyone was open. Things just exploded, and you couldn't stop what they were doing last year. This year, really opposite. Feels like the whole league said, hey, you know what? This is the NFL, not for long. We're not going to allow this to happen. Everyone studied him during the offseason, studied Brock particularly, studied Kyle's offense, and it's just harder. It's thicker. It doesn't move as quick. In the red zone, they're not nearly. They're middle of the pack or below average.
So that's Steve Young or Jim Rohn. They're below average, middle of the pack. They're not doing good. But how about this one? They need to figure out how to beat good defenses. How are we living? We got Kyle Shanahan, got Brock Purdy, got Deebo Kittle, you got all these weapons. We need to figure out how to beat good defenses. What do you mean, Steve?
History says that we were 6-5 back in the day and we won a Super Bowl. Like you can get right. Now, see, Chris McCaffrey would probably, you got to figure he gets back on the field, that would be a difference maker. And you've got to figure out how to, when you go up against the best defenses, Minnesota's got that great defense. Brian Flores, there's like guys that are running great defenses today. We get beat when we play great defenses. Well, we're going to see him in Detroit. We're going to see him in Minnesota. We're going to see him in the NFC, which we haven't seen in the previous years. And now we're going to, in the Super Bowl, if you get there, you're going to see another one. So we've got to figure out how to, make that happen.
How are they struggling to beat good defenses with these players? Well, I tell you right now, from what I saw again on Sunday, and we'll talk to Baldy about it at 7:30. Spadoni, the wide receivers are having a very difficult time in separating and getting wide open. The quarterback at times is not seeing it. Defenses are changing up their pictures, changing up their formations right before the snap. He's not seeing where the free blitzers are coming. There's way too many free blitzers coming in on Brock Purdy. Got to make the adjustment there. The passing game looks stale. The running game looks predictable. This is a come-to-Jesus moment for the 49ers this week.
There's part of me that wants to be like, you got to figure this thing out, Shanahan, but there's also a part of me saying, you know what, like maybe they're just too hurt. Like, when push comes to shove, man, like you saw with the Bucks yesterday, and we'll see with them. But you lose Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, you're just not going to be the same.
No.
You lose Juwan Jennings, who's been your best wide receiver this season. You lose Deebo Samuel. You lose Brandon Ayuk. Like, you're just not going to be the same. I'm sorry. Like, you can't lose all those players, and the offense just can't be the same. And I get it. You're looking at your head coach, and if he's being called his genius, you want him to adjust. Hey, there's no injury excuses for the Kansas City Chiefs. They lost Juju Smith-Schuster first play of the game or first series of the game. They lost Hollywood Brown for the season. They lost Rashee Rice for the season. They got old man Travis Kelce. They got guys named Watson out there making plays. Noah Gray are making plays and stuff like that. Like, they have no excuses.
Nope.
That might be true. They also have the greatest quarterback maybe in the history of the sport. And Brock Purdy's just not that guy. And that's okay that he's not that guy. But don't also sit here and tell me that he should be in that conversation sometimes and that he can elevate the talent around him. I'm not putting him in that category yet. No. So I do have to go to Shanahan here, and the scheme just has to change. But is it going to be enough in this short window, Bonte, that they could change it enough to get the production out of a Ricky Pearsall who's had no training camp?
He's your healthiest receiver right now. He's your healthiest receiver right now.
He was in an emergency room 4 weeks ago.
Isn't that crazy? We got to run here, Spadone.
Oh, my God.
What's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We'll replay the Jerry Rice interview from yesterday. Jerry was on fire. Jerry was mad at us for not having a Zoom leak. But Jerry Rice, we're going to replay that interview from yesterday right here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. That's coming up on the other side.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky.
All right, Spadoni in, Shasky out. Shasky feeling a little under the weather. We'll get him back soon here. I know he's chomping at the bit. Boy, you know he's hurt right now. He can't talk about the Chiefs game. It's Cowboys week.
Got Warriors tomorrow. His favorite player, Bronny James, playing tonight.
Oh, my gosh. Jerry Jones is talking as well. Jerry Jones, apparently, we're going to play some of the sound because he's back out with RJ Shot after last week's shenanigans. Jerry Jones offered no apology from last week's read on 105 through the Fed. He says the radio station gets the privilege of having him, Stephen Jones, and Mike McCarthy on.
Oh, my God. The arrogance. That is actually an impressive feat. Our sister station, the Odyssey station, 105 through the Fan out in Dallas. But, oh, my God, the privilege. No, you're the only one that wants to do this, Jerry. There's a reason Joe Lacob isn't coming on with us weekly, Bonte. There's a reason Jed York isn't going on places weekly. Because they don't need to talk. They understand the fan base doesn't need to hear from us every single week. Well, and my guy is goddamn, he's 85 years old. What are we doing?
Oh, man. Listen, he, Jerry Jones, we're not playing very good football right now, and it's beyond Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's having a career year. I don't know if he would have had that here. All right, whatever.
Would have helped. All right, I can tell you that over Zeke Elliott, who's just washed.
He's done. This segment is sponsored by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on a free Odyssey app.
It's the earliest legal we've ever done in the history of this station.
Lumber goes, get the legal in before you toss Jerry
Rice.
Does
it even count at 6:48?
I don't even think it counts.
Well, you read it.
But you know what? We'll see when the interview is over, and I'll read it again. So Jerry Rice joined us yesterday right here on 95.7 The Game. Spadoni and I, and it was a lot of fun with Jerry Rice. And the interview, you got it ready to go, Carter? All right. First question. In order to beat a man, you got to beat the man. And right now, the Niners can't beat the man. They just cannot beat the Kansas City Chiefs, Jerry.
Man, what a frustrating day yesterday. And now I'm still frustrated. Now I'm frustrated at you guys because you guys, I'm trying to get this Zoom link, and for some reason it is not working. What is going on?
No, it's communication.
It's just like Shanahan and Brock Purdy right now. There's just a lack of communication right now. It starts with us, you know?
Man, yesterday, it just looked like it was like they were just meeting for the first time. Mm. It was that first day of training camp. And, you know, to see what happened yesterday, and we knew the importance of that football game, and we didn't rise to the occasion. And then on top of that, more injuries. I'm like, what is going on, man? I don't even know if we're going to have anyone to suit up next week.
Yeah. Ayuk in the ACL. Jerry, let me ask you this then. You know, because I need a go fuel right now. I need some go fuel in my life. I'm down in the dumps, Jerry. I need go fuel. Maybe I need the ice around your neck, too. That chain that you had on yesterday was shining. That was the only thing that was shining at Levi's Stadium. But This team has a problem with beating man coverage, and we're seeing it all season now. These defenses are coming in, whether they're going to L.A., Minnesota, or teams are coming to Levi's Stadium, and they're saying, we're just going to play man defense against you. We're going to play press sticky man coverage. And I think about Chu. I think about John Taylor. I think about T.O. If teams manned you guys up, you are going to have a field day. You'll be on ESPN all night long. But this team cannot beat man coverage. Why is that, Jerry?
Yeah, and the Chiefs' defense is really elite, man, because I'm going to be honest with you. Patrick Mahomes yesterday didn't actually play his best football.
Mm-mm.
And he hasn't played his best football. He got the worst passing rating in the NFL right now. But that defense is winning ball games. And, you know, you got to be able to not make mistakes and do all of that. But one-on-one coverage. Okay, this is my game. I would spread the defense out. I would spread them out. I would spread that offense out. That run pass option thing where everything is so condensed, the passing lanes are way, you know, there's no room for error. And I think right now, because everything is so congested inside, you need to just simplify everything, spread the defense out. Let these guys run hook routes. Let these guys run square outs. Let these guys run, you know, like comebacks on the outside and spread them out. And I think Brock Purdy is going to have passing lanes where he can just process everything and it doesn't look so congested.
And I was watching him yesterday, Jerry, and you were at the game, and I was just watching on my couch, but I got to be honest, this is probably the worst game I've ever seen Brock Purdy play as a San Francisco 49er. I mean, all those interceptions, two of them, just go back to the very first one. I don't know what he was looking at. What were the Chiefs doing specifically yesterday to frustrate him so badly?
They knew they throw the ball over the middle. They pretty much know that they don't throw the ball outside, you know, that often. So, and I was like, even if you don't connect on a long pass or, you know, over the top, you got to throw it to let the defense know that, you know, hey, look, you know, we'll throw the ball deep. We'll throw the ball deep outside. And right now they're squeezing everything over the middle because they know that the majority of, 49er plays are over the middle. So we got to change that, man. Yeah. We got to change. We got to change that. And if we expect to, somehow win our division, we're gonna have to just, you know, win every ball game now. And it's next man up. We got the Dallas Cowboys coming to town. You know, the team that we don't like, and we got to get a win.
Jerry Rice here on the River Islands guest line on the Morning Roast here on 95.7 The Game. Make sure you pack some Go Fuel as well. We all need it this morning. Go Fuel, the best in the business. Get some sports energy drinks in your life. Go Fuel. But hey, and he's got a great roster now. Jerry Rice, you're expanding with this roster when it comes to Go Fuel, but you're so right about not throwing outside the numbers or taking shots deep down the field. You got to let defenses know that, hey, we could take the top off the defense and everything is so congested. So what would happen when you were playing? And maybe you guys are running your West Coast offense and you're sticking to the scheme. When did a coach, whether it was Mike Holmgren as your offensive coordinator or George Seifert as your head coach or Bill Walsh, whoever it was, Mike Shanahan as your OC, the last time the Niners won the Super Bowl, when did they deviate from the scheme to say, you know what, let's just go play football. Let's just get our playmakers the ball. Because it feels like at times Shanahan is just too stuck to the script.
Yeah, you know, for us, back in the day, I'm going to be honest with you, if we play like the way we played yesterday, we would have probably been swinging on each other on the sidelines. We would have been fighting each other. That was like, you know, that was not 49er standard right there. I would say probably what we would do is just simplify everything, go back to route running, go back to where, you know, Brock Purdy is feeling a little bit more comfortable back there in the backfield where he can see the lanes where he wants to throw the football and stuff like that. And let these guys, you know, let these guys earn their money, man. These guys are professionals. And I don't know who's going to suit up next week because it's like with all the injuries, you know, McCaffrey, Samuel, Ayuk, Jennings, all of that going on. You know, there's still some veteran guys out there, like a DeAndre Hopkins, like, you know, Mike Williams, Deontay Johnson and stuff like that. They might have to bring some other people in, because I don't know what happened with, Debo yesterday.
Yeah, he said he got sick. I don't know what happened, yeah. Jerry.
I don't know what happened, man, because I saw him warming up. Then after that, that was it.
Yeah,
and we got to get some guys on the field. But I think just to simplify everything, where Brock Purdy is more comfortable, he can see the lanes and stuff like that. I think that's going to equate to winning football games. And also, you know, our defense, our defense fought hard for the longest.
Yeah, I agree.
But you know, eventually they're going to get tired. You know, and you know, so. Things just didn't happen yesterday, but I'm still going to stay positive. You know, they got to somehow turn it back around, get a win against those Cowboys, which I hate those Cowboys. Oh. They're coming to town. So, but we got to get it.
Talking to the GOAT here, Jerry Rice, courtesy of the River Islands guest sign. And Jerry, you mentioned the injuries right now and potentially a massive one here with Brandon Ayuk and Kyle Shanahan talking after the game, fearing it's an ACL. I mean, just simply put, how big of a loss would that be for this 49ers offense?
Well, that's big, man, because, you know, I Brandon Ayuk is the guy that pretty much he's going to stretch the field. And I know, you know, he had some critical drops yesterday and stuff like that. One in particular. Yeah. But, you know, you never want to see a guy get injured like that, because I went through that with the ACL and stuff like that. And, you know, it takes a while to, you know, come back from. So I wish him the best and all of that. But that's a big loss for us. And that's why I was throwing out these other names of veterans that maybe can come in and help this team. And I know Pearsall, he's back on the field. I think he got his first reception yesterday. It was great seeing him out there on the football field. But, you know, we just got to see what the game plan is going to be. But somehow we got to get a victory.
You know, Jerry, you brought up the ACL injury, because I'll never forget watching that. And I'm reliving that play in my head, unfortunately, when you guys lost to Tampa Bay in the first game of the season in 1997. Now, you made a comeback. You played on Monday Night Football against the Denver Broncos, scored a touchdown, and re-injured your knee. But going through that rehab process of a torn ACL, what would you tell Brandon Ayuk? What road lies ahead for him as he tries to recover from this ACL injury?
I think the most important thing, don't rush back. Because I did. I rushed it back a little bit because I wanted to be there for the retirement of the greatest quarterback ever, Joe Montana, night jersey and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Then I think I ended up cracking my patella, and I was right back in surgery. So yeah. It was not a very smart move. So, you know, he got to give that time to heal. And once he feels like he's 100%, then get back out there on the football field. But I think an injury like that, it takes time.
Jerry, I want to get inside your head right now, because you've played at the highest level. You've been a part of so many different locker rooms at such a championship level. And when a team has your number, like the Kansas City Chiefs seem to have Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers number,
yeah.
How does that affect the locker room after a loss like yesterday going forward?
Well, you know, these guys, they should feel embarrassed. I'm going to be honest with you. And that was not 49ers standard football yesterday. So, you know, it's very similar to when the Cowboys kept beating us, and we just thought, you know, we felt like we had to find a way to beat mm-hmm. that team. And, you know, we beat them. We beat them then because we wanted to send a message that, hey, look, we beat you during regular season. We're going to beat you during the playoffs. We're going to go and win a Super Bowl. So,
you got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.